All right. Welcome back, everyone. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are live in the Skyline studio here until we are here until 4 a.m., our new hours that we did all this week, debuted this week, are 11 p.m. to 4 a.m., weekday nights into mornings, 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. It's Friday morning, which means all the regular Friday features are coming up. You Big Dummy, straight out of context, Nick D Show Spies. And Fly Jams Friday, and of course we'll kick it all off at 2:30 with Vic Vaughn and Vic's Picks. Right now, though, we want to welcome our good friend Herb Weisbaum to the show. He's a contributor to NBC News and KOMO Radio. He's the ConsumerMan.com, and he is here to talk about some consumer news, some advice, and to help you out. If you have any concerns or questions consumer-related, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Herb to the show. Herb, how are you?
Hi, and as Donna Summers would say, I work hard for my money, so you better treat me right.
That's right. I feel the same way. I feel the same way. How you been, Herb?
Doing fine. Having a good had a good Thanksgiving, and heading off for a little vacation, then back for all the holiday festivities, and doing real fine, thank you.
Where are you going?
We're going to Hawaii.
Oh, wow.
Little sunshine, little warmth.
Little warmth, little get sunshine. You've been traveling a lot lately, Herb. That's really great.
You get a little older, you have a little more time to do these kind of things if you plan it right.
Ah, see? And you know how to plan things because you're the consumer man.
Keep saving, Nick. You'll make it someday.
So, once again, tell everybody you are Herb Weisbaum and what you do and all that cool stuff.
Sure. I write a weekly column for NBCNews.com, and I cover the consumer beat. Rip-off scams, how to save money, good deals, bad deals, that sort of thing to make you a smarter consumer, a smarter shopper. I have a website, consumerman.com, where you can read all of my stories. I also work for KOMO Radio in Seattle as their consumer reporter. And I just like to help people be smart and indeed get more for their money and not get ripped off by the bad guys.
There you go. Consumerman.com is the website, but he's here live. And if you have a question or a concern, you can text us or call us right now and we'll help you out. It's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. All right. You know, Herb, obviously, as we get closer to the holidays and Christmas, the world of shopping goes pretty nutty. Do you get busier around this time because people are looking for help because they're going to be out shopping or shopping online or anything like that?
Well, we deal with a lot of stories about online shopping safety and also about how to be smart when you spend your money and that sort of thing. So, yes, it's a busy time of year for consumer reporters because there's both the what should you do with your money, how should you not spend your money, and also watch out for a whole lot of scams that take place at this time of year. The bad guys know we're moving real quickly. They know we're doing a lot of shopping online, huge amount of shopping online.
Yeah.
So trying to set up all kinds of scams. So, yeah, it's a pretty busy time of year and fun, but it's also important to teach people how to be smart.
And also, I mean, it all starts like on Black Friday and then Cyber Monday and all of that stuff. So the shopping has already begun. The craziness has already begun. And I think there were like a record number of people who shopped online is what I heard.
The record number of people shopped online. I mean, the craziness literally started. The first Black Friday sales this year dropped the day after Halloween.
Uh-huh.
So there were the pre-Black Friday sales and the pre-Black Friday sales, and then there were the Black Friday sales, and there was Cyber Monday, and then there was whatever it was, Tuesday, and then it was Cyber Week the rest of the week. And there's always a reason for somebody to offer you a sale, which may or may not be a good deal. And that's the kind of thing we try to tell people this time of year. Just because they say it's on sale or just because they say 50% off or whatever doesn't mean it's a good price.
Yeah. You've
got to check what the thing's selling for and then know if it's a good price. The bottom line isn't how much off you're getting. The bottom line is what am I paying for it when I walk out the door?
Yeah.
That's the bottom thing you're looking for. And I recently did a story about a website called Camel, Camel, Camel. And that is a website where you can actually track the prices of products so you can see if you really are getting a good deal. If the store says, we're selling at this price and we're selling it for this, but it never sold it at that price, you're not getting a deal. You're getting snookered. So you can go to a site such as Camel, 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 and find out the history of products and do that sort of thing.
Okay. All right. You know, it was so funny, Herb, that you mentioned that the first Black Friday sort of sales began the day after Halloween. I actually heard the term a few weeks ago. I actually heard the term Black November for the first time, and I thought, my God, an entire month.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we also, while a lot of things were on sale during that period, there are going to be a lot more sales. For instance, toys tend to go on sale and be lower than they were on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, the 2 weeks before Christmas, if history is a guide to what's going to happen this year. Also, TVs, there were great deals on TVs for Black Friday, but the premier TVs, the big screen TVs, tend to have the lowest price just before the Super Bowl as they clear out the model year and make it available inventory for the next year. Yeah, yeah. And then with clothing, if you can wait, I mean, you may need stuff now, but if you need winter clothing after Christmas, that's when that stuff will go on sale, so you get a much better deal. So, yes, there are some great deals here, but it doesn't mean it's the only time to shop, especially if you're not in need of a specific gift or something you have to get for Christmas or Hanukkah.
I knew a friend who actually did not have turkey for Thanksgiving. They had a nice dinner, but it wasn't turkey. Next day, he got a turkey, 22 pounds, $7.
See, it's all when there's a demand, right? Supply and demand.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And that's what, you know, and I know that happens on Halloween, too. After Halloween, you can go in and get, like, half-priced candy. That's when everybody loads up on their candy, is on November 1st.
You know, I tried that one year, just put a sign outside my house, come back tomorrow, and it didn't work, quite frankly.
Oh,
That's not, you got the point.
Yeah. All right. Well, so we've got somebody who's calling in. It's our good friend Doc. Doc, go ahead. You got a question for Herb?
I do. Hey, Herb, I love it when the consumer man is on. Hey, I listen to a lot of talk radio, and I just in the last couple of weeks, I've been hearing these commercials. It's similar to a service that provides you ID theft protection, but this is for your home, and they're describing this scam as people research your home and mortgage information through online public documents. They create false documents that make it appear that they have purchased your home, then borrow money against that, and you lose your equity. And I want to know if you're familiar with this, if it's that prevalent, and if you know much about this service of them providing you protection, you paying for protection against this. Because I can't imagine somebody steals the equity in our home that way. I can't imagine we would be liable for it.
Right. I am familiar with the crime. I've seen stories about such a thing. I mean, they come up with all kinds of... See, I'm not familiar with any kind of service that promises they can protect you against this. And quite frankly, you can't pay for a service to protect you against everything in the world. This is not a rampant crime like credit card crime is or something like that. It certainly could be a devastating crime if it happened to you. I don't know the answer to how you could protect yourself or whether the bank would notify you about this, but I will make you a promise that if you listen to Nick's show at this time in January, the first Friday morning in January, I will get some answers for you and we can talk more about it. And maybe you could send Nick or send me the service is doing that kind of thing, and I can look into it for you.
Okay. All right, Doc.
Well, I'm hearing it advertised on one of the three or four biggest political talk shows, so I'm thinking, boy, these guys are throwing some money at it to advertise. I don't remember the name of the company, but I'll keep listening to that and forward it to you.
All right. Thank you, Doc.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Advertising on big stations or networks doesn't mean they're legitimate. It doesn't mean anything. It just means they have some money to spend.
Exactly.
But you can't protect against everything. But I will look into that, and it's an interesting topic. And also, if there are things you can do on your own to protect yourself, so we'll do that the next time we chat in January.
Absolutely. And by the way, tell everybody about your newsletter so that they can subscribe. It's free, and tell everybody about it.
Sure. Just to make it easy for you, every week or so, I publish a newsletter. I send it out to you, and it has the stories I've done for NBC News. The story that week and also some of the ones that I've done for Como Radio, and it just keeps you up to date on the kinds of things that are going on, all the stuff that you and I talk about here and that sort of thing. All you have to do is go to my website, consumerman.com, and pop-up will pop up, or you'll see it on the right-hand side, Herb's free newsletter. Just give me your name and your email address. You'll join the family of people who get the email from me. I don't sell the mailing list, share it, give it to anybody. And every time we talk, Nick, about 24 people sign up. So it's really fabulous to see how your audience is really interested in getting smarter in this area.
That's great. So sign up right now, everybody. It's free. Consumerman.com. Okay.
And I'll set free to Illuminati's Pizza. For the first 10 people who sign up,
don't promise that, Herb. They'll want to take advantage of it. Trust me. All right. Here's a great story with some simple advice. Hey, you want to spend less on shopping? Ditch your cell phone. Leave your cell phone at home.
Absolutely. You want to talk about that now or after the news?
No, we don't have a news anymore in the bottom of the hour, Herb. So
I didn't get the format changes. Okay,
yeah,
good.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I was fascinated by this story when I heard about the study, and I've gotten so much reaction from people like, wow, I never thought about this. Basically, the study showed, it was recently published in the Journal of the Academy of Marketing Science, that if you use your mobile device in a store while you're shopping for non-shopping related purposes, so that would be talking, texting, checking social media. Some people play video games. I don't know how they could shop and play games. Also, listening to music, even if you're listening to your favorite music, that is distracting, and it will make you spend more. You will do more impulse purchases if you do that, as opposed to not using your phone, or if you use your phone for shopping-related purchases. So that would be checking a price or doing the QR code or maybe contacting somebody saying, which size do you really want, or something like that, shopping-related. That will actually keep you from making as many impulse purchases. It was really fascinating research, and they did it in real life. They actually had a company survey 2,600 people on their way into mass marketing retail stores. And they literally got the people and said, hi, you're about to go shop. Can we ask you some questions? And one of the questions was, what are you planning to buy today? And then they went in the store, and then they came out of the store, and then they said, did you wind up buying, what did you buy? And also, they asked them at that point, did you use your cell phone? And if so, how did you use it? So they didn't influence the people going into the store knowing that they were asking something about a cell phone.
Right.
And it turned out the people who use their cell phone for this non-shopping purpose made 9% more impulse purchases. And I asked the guy who did the study, he was a professor at Fairfield University he's a marketing professor, Mike Chandra, an assistant professor of marketing at Fairfield University in Connecticut. I said, what is going on here? And he said, we all think we can multitask, and we think we know how to use the phone, and we know how to shop because we've done both, so we think we can do both at the same time. But our brains are really not designed to do that. Something is going to suffer, or both things are going to suffer when you multitask. And that's what's happening here. You're just distracted. And in some cases, as I said, they found out that people forgot to buy things that were on their shopping
list.
So what is that? That means you got to go back to the store. So you're wasting more time or effort. Oh, geez, I should have gotten the mayonnaise. You got to get home and you realize you got to go back and buy it again. So I just found that fascinating and the people they interviewed in like lab situations, they did some one-on-one interviews, said absolutely there is no effect of using the phone whatsoever. I know how to use my phone. I know what I'm doing. But indeed, when they did the real life test, it actually did have an impact on the people. So clearly the takeaway message I'm trying to share with everybody is don't use your phone for not shopping related purchases, because you're going to wind up buying more stuff, and especially, Nick, at this time of year with the holidays, where retailers are doing everything they possibly can to distract you to get you to make purchases, this is going to make it even worse. You got to focus on the task ahead. And I jokingly said to the professor, I said, so what do you do if, like, the phone rings and it's your mom, or you get a text from the wife or something like that? I said, is it like with a car, you pull off to the side of the road? And he said, yeah, just either don't answer it and call back, or pull off to the aisle, get out of the way. Hi, Mom, how you doing? Finish it up and then get back to your shopping. Don't try to do both at the same time. Not to mention, if you've been shopping lately, when you're doing that, you run into people.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they're doing this thing like people who walk across the street and then fall off the sidewalk. You're trying to do this thing, and you're pushing your cart, and they keep running into people.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that if you can't stay off your phone long enough to just maybe shop for an hour, then there's something wrong. You know what I mean? I don't understand it. I just don't get it. It's also really annoying for people to talk on the phone, like when they're in a public place. I find that really annoying as well. My father,
I don't want to discuss your date while you're in the cereal aisle. Like, do that in the privacy of your own whatever, you know.
Yeah, my father is works at a grocery store here, a grocery store chain called Jewel. He works there.
Sure.
And he bags groceries, and he keeps busy, and he loves it. But he says the most annoying customers are the ones that are gabbing on the phone as they're checking out, and not paying attention to anything. And if the cashier wants to ask them a question or has a problem with an item that they have, you have to wave at them to get their attention, and they just gabbing away on the phone while they're trying to check out.
Yeah, we just, like, we get involved in this own little world of ours and forget everybody else. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
By the way, one fact to what I found in researching this product, which shows why this is an important story, it's estimated that half, 50% of all in-store mobile phone use is not shopping-related. So there's a lot of folks that are in there doing the kind of stuff your dad sees and that you're talking about every single time you go to the store. And it's just like, you're not that important.
Yeah.
Disconnect for an hour and do your shopping.
Exactly.
I don't mean to be rude.
No, no, I totally agree with you, Herb. I completely agree with you. And also, this is a fascinating piece because I never really even put that together. Like, leave the phone at home because you could get distracted and just zero in on whatever you need instead of being distracted by your phone.
And you have a second? Can I bring this back to driving?
Yeah, yeah.
Because way back when, I did a story when I was with CBS about distracted driving. And that was just when people were starting to talk about it. And, you know, a lot of people think it's only the laws now, you can't have the phone up to your ear. But literally talking on the phone while you're driving distracts you because of the same reason we just talked about. Your brain cannot function on two things at the same time.
Right.
Your mind goes out there somewhere while you're talking on a phone, and it's not like talking to a person in a seat next to you. And I went to a lab, I can't remember the university, but we were in simulators. And they told you that 2 miles up the road, there was a turnoff or a gas station you had to pull off. And I did it, and dang dang it, I knew it was there, and I was talking on the phone, I drove right by it.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I knew it was there, and I knew what I had to do, and it's because we just can't multitask as well as we think we can.
Yeah.
And that's a very important lesson.
I agree. Okay, Herb, hang on, okay, man?
You got it, Nick.
Our good buddy Herb Weisbaum, he's a great guy. The Consumer Man, he's here to help you out. 312-981-7200. Again, all of these articles that we're talking about, including the one about the distracting shopping, all available at consumerman.com, and subscribe to his free newsletter as well. More with Herb after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Skyline studio here until 4 a.m. It's Friday morning. That means all the regular Friday features will begin at 2:30 with Vic's Picks. Then we've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, and Fly Jams Friday. Get your Fly Jam requests in. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200. We also have a Blackhawks Express to play back from a great game last night that was needlessly exciting. Needlessly suspenseful. You'll hear it play back later on. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we're talking with our good friend Herb Weisbaum. He's the Consumer Man. ConsumerMan.com joins us once a month to help you out with consumer issues and talk about some of the consumer news. 312-981-7200. Herb, welcome back, my friend.
Nick, we say needlessly stressful after every Seahawks game, let me tell you.
Yeah, well,
Russell, had to wait till a minute to go?
Yeah. Well, what happened last night was the Hawks were up 3-0 in the third. Boston came back and tied it, had to go to overtime.
Oh, wow.
They ended up winning. The Hawks ended up winning. But still, I mean, they were 3-0 in the third. And I was like, okay, well, good. It's over.
Yep. So. You never leave till it's over.
No, exactly. I have a text here with a question, Herb. 630 area code says, I have a nice KitchenAid dishwasher. It's only 3 years old. The racks are rusting. I bought this model because I thought that it would not happen. Do you have suggestions for recourse or reporting to consumer advocacy groups?
Yeah, the first thing I do is work with a company. It's a big company, so I'd write their customer service people and tell them what happened and ask them if they would help you with this. But you could also try it, if it was a retailer, you could try the retailer, but they'll probably refer you to the company. If that doesn't happen, then the next bet would be to go to the Better Business Bureau and file a complaint with them and see if they can work it out. Sometimes they would act as an intermediary with you. But if indeed it's something that should last a lot longer than that, then I'd go that route and try to see if the company, it's a good place to start. A good company should try to help you and go from there.
Okay. All right. There you go. Okay. Again, we're talking a lot about shopping, Herb, because it's that time of year. And you want to tell people how to use cashback portals to make money while you shop. Tell everybody about that story.
It's a really cool thing. I mean, millions of people already know about it, but I shared it with a number of friends, and they said, I didn't know about that. There are these... there are online stores of A to Z, Amazon to Zales, that will literally pay you to shop with them if you go through these online portals. So what these are aggregators. You sign up to become a member of the site, and it's free. And then and the sites are have names like, and I'll give these again, but Be Frugal or Coupon Cabin or Mr. Rebates or Rakuten or Retail Me Not. And if you make a purchase through the portal, then you get cash back from the retailer for your purchase. The cash back varies from a retailer to retailer, and it might vary from item to item, and it varies from time to time. But the average that you get back, they say, is about 7%. Right now, at the holiday season, I've seen a lot of companies, a lot of retailers double this. So I've seen 10 or 15% off on certain things. So if you're going to buy the item anyway, and you don't mind letting one more organization, you know what you're shopping, because you're going to give up a little bit of privacy by doing this, you sign up for free. Many of these sites will give you a bonus right off the bat. You can get typically $5 to $10 by signing up for doing this. Some of them also offer bonuses if you help other people sign up. But why not make your holiday purchases and do this through these sites? I spoke to the points guy, and that's what they do is track miles and points and rewards and everything like that. And they basically said to me, this is a no-brainer. I mean, you're going to increase your rewards and savings. You get on these purchases. You can still do anything you would normally do. You could use your coupons. You could use any rebates you had, anything like that. Some of them won't let you use gift cards. Unless it's you've got to be careful, and some of them won't let you use coupons unless you use the coupon through the site, and a lot of these sites have coupons. But again, it's a way to get paid, literally, and as long as you don't let it get to your head and go get carried away with it, because we know that what that can do. But it's literally a way to get paid for doing some shopping, and I just thought it was a really cool way to share things with people that you can do that. And, you know, a lot of airlines do this now, Nick. They have portals. Credit cards have portals. Some hotels have portals. So basically, if you're a loyalty member, you probably get these ads all the time, as I do. Hey, it's United Airlines.
Yeah.
You know, don't forget to shop through our portal. It's just a way, you know, they get a commission from the people who are selling the merchandise. And the business model is we split the commission with you, the shopper. We make money. They make money. And the store that we're referring to is happy. It's another way for them to do business. So you just sort of get cut in on the action.
Wow. I wasn't aware of this. This is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'd heard about it, and I wasn't really familiar. Then when I researched it, I joined one because I think it's interesting. In the story, I sort of did a Q&A because a lot of people asked me about the nuts and bolts. So I'll run by that if you want just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, thinking of the money they've saved, I called this one site Be Frugal, and they launched in 2009. And I said to the guy who started, how much do you think you've saved people? And he said, more than $200 million on $2 billion worth of shopping since 2009.
Whoa.
That's a lot. So there is money out there, and why not take it if it's on the table? But here are a couple of the Q&As I did real quickly. A lot of people want to know, how often do I get paid? It's different with every site, but typically it's monthly or quarterly if you reach the minimum threshold. Like, you might have to get $5 or $10 before they'll pay you back. So how do you get your money? Well, a lot of sites offer various ways for this to happen. They include a check in the mail, a direct deposit to your checking account. Some of them will do PayPal or an e-gift card. And with that site called Rakuten, which is really a big one, it used to be called Ebates, they will actually now give you rewards on your American Express points.
Mm.
Oh, I hear all your listeners with American Express cards going, really? I can get American Express points? But they just started that. So that's really cool for people who
collect
the way, points.
And by the way, Herb, they're buying a lot of advertising time. I'm seeing a lot of commercials for Rakuten now.
And Retail Me Not. There's a lot of sites that are buying these things now. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
The other question is, why do they sit on the money for a while? And that's basically to cut down on return fraud. So if you return something, you're going to get those points taken away from you, or that cash taken away from you. So they usually have that period, whatever it is, 30 to 60 days before they'll pay you, because they want to make sure you're not trying to cash in on this and create fraud. So that's it. And then the big question I had was, can I expect to get more advertising spam if I do this? And I asked several of the sites about that, and I asked several of the people that use the sites about that, and they actually said no, that you will get emails from them. And when I joined the one site, I'm getting an email every single day and sometimes several times a day. Now, I've just flagged my Outlook, so it goes into spam right now, and you could probably unsign up for some of those emails. But you'll get it from them, but I'm not getting a whole bunch of email from everybody else and their brother. And what they're doing is they're flagging me to some of the new deals that have just come up. So a lot of people would really like that information, especially at this time of year. I mean, if a retailer is doubling the cash back or something, you want to know about that. But as far as getting bombarded by all the other companies you deal with, the word is that I get is no, you're not going to have that problem.
Okay. All right. There's more details in this piece as well, but you can go check it out at consumerman.com. Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it, Nick.
All right, Herb Weissbaum is with us, and he is the Consumer Man and check out consumerman.com. And we'll talk for a little bit more here with Herb right after we break. Yeah. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. After the 2 o'clock news, this year marks the 40th anniversary of the release of Pink Floyd, The Wall, which is a seminal album for me. One of my favorites of all time. So we're going to talk about that monumental record and about Pink Floyd in general. And then all the regular Friday features will begin after 2:30. Vic Vaughn will be live, and he'll tell us all about his Vic's Picks, his latest list in musical journey. We've got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show, Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday with Luscious Hushes all coming up. And the news is next for the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Talking with Herb Weisbaum right now, and we always love talking to Herb, and he's the great guy. He's a consumer guy here to help you out. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Consumerman.com is the website. Herb, welcome back.
Thank you. Back at you. I love doing this every month.
Oh, yeah. It's the best. It's the best. Okay. So here's something that we can all identify with, I believe. Herb, you wrote a piece about lending money. What are the pitfalls of lending money to a family member or a friend?
Yep.
It's kind of a sticky situation. It always has been, loaning money to family or friends. Tell us about what you wrote about.
Sure. Well, as I said in the article, you remember what Polonius said in Shakespeare's Hamlet, right?
Yeah.
Neither a borrower nor a lender be, for loan oft loses both itself and friend.
Yeah.
Well said, Polonius. Yes, lending money to a family member or a friend is a risky proposition, and it could end very badly for both of you. You could lose your money, or you could wreck your relationship, or both. This was a survey that was done by Bankrate.com, and nearly half, 46% of the adults who lent money to friends or family reported having a negative outcome. 37% said they lost money. 21% said they experienced a damaged relationship with a borrower. And they also asked about co-signing a loan. And we've talked about that before, where either a family member or who doesn't have good credit, or a child doesn't have good credit yet, asks you, the parents or grandparents, to co-sign a loan for a credit card or a car or something like that. And that can also cause personal and financial problems. Again, nearly half, 45% of the people in the Bankrate survey who did this said they experienced a negative consequence. 21% reported having their relationship damaged. 20% said their credit score was damaged as a direct result. And 18% reported losing money in the process. So as the Bankrate spokesperson said, quote, we should not be lending money to family and friends, and we should not be co-signing loans, because unfortunately, about half the time, something goes wrong.
That doesn't surprise me.
Emotional. I mean, you know that. It's an emotional thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I've lent money to family members and friends, and the situation is always tense. It's weird, and it never quite turns out the way that it should. So what are some of the tips that people have that you can give them?
Well, here's what happens, what happens, why it goes wrong, because in many cases they found out that the people don't understand what's going on. Like, the person you're lending it to thinks it's a gift, and you think it's a loan or whatever. That's not clear. So if you're going to do this, you clearly have to sit down and talk to the person and know what's going on, and maybe write up just a little tiny contract, like, I am lending you this money at no interest or this interest. Here's how it's going to be paid back, or something like that, so there's no misunderstanding,
number one. The weird thing about that, Herb, is that, like, if you do that, if you write out, some people would be offended by it. You know what I mean?
Correct.
Yeah, some people would be so offended. Why do we have to write this? Why do you have to write this out? You don't trust me? I'm your cousin, that kind of thing.
And I guess the answer is, it's a business transaction. We're doing a business transaction, and that's just the way business is done. But yes, that is a big problem. The other thing is, realize that if they don't pay you back, in most cases, there's no consequence for them. I mean, their credit score is not going to drop. And if you co-sign and they don't pay the bills, your credit score is going to drop. As we said earlier, it's not going to be their credit score that's going to drop. So the consequences are all on you, which is why many people I talked to a bunch of financial experts, personal finance experts with the story, and they all said the same thing. It's like lighting the money on fire. You give somebody the money, you give them a loan, a family member, a friend, and assume you are never going to see it again. It is a gift. And if you can't do that and you couldn't live without it, then you shouldn't be lending the money, because, as we said, half the time, odds are something's going to go wrong. The bigger problem is that co-signing, Nick, as we talked about. A lot of people think co-signing means you're giving them like a recommendation, like a job recommendation. No, you're putting, you are co-signing. you were a co-signator to that loan.
Yeah.
You were putting your credit online.
Yep.
And if your child or family member or whatever doesn't pay the loan or the bill or whatever, it comes against you. You're liable for that, and it could ruin your credit score. And that's why there are a lot of things you could do, like putting your kid on your card as a authorized member or user of the card, where you don't have that kind of thing happen to you because you can control what they're doing. But co-signing is something you really, really need to think about. It's even in many cases probably worse than lending money.
Yeah, it's such a sticky situation. It really is. And you also write about lending your credit card. I would never ever do that.
I can't imagine that. I can't see how you do that. But yes, they found out that the people who lent their credit card to a family or friend, 37% had something go wrong. 20% said they lost money. 16% said it harmed their relationship, and 12% said it took a hit to their credit score. Again, I just don't love that. What happens is, I think in a lot of cases, what is, especially millennials, because this seems to be a bigger problem with millennials, is you're at lunch and you go, hey, listen, I'll pay the bill, and you're saying to yourself, and I'll get all the miles and the points, and
right.
Then you guys just pay me back, and I'll be cool. And then it was like, hey, bye, goodbye, and I got to catch my Uber, bye, and then you never get the money, and then you get stuck. And that's almost a form of lending your card without actually physically giving the card. You're lending your credit to them, and I think that's what the situation is. You get stiff once or twice, you may not be so eager to volunteer to pay for lunch or drinks when you go out after work. But that, I think, is a problem that's happening a lot of times. You assume everybody is going to pay back, and in many cases, they really don't.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, it's such a difficult situation. It's nice that you wrote this piece to help some people out, because it's a situation I think a lot of us have been through, and it's never good.
Yeah, and to have the courage, the personal financial experts also have the courage to say simply, I don't feel comfortable doing this, or I personally can't afford it.
Yeah.
I'm not in a situation to do it right now. And if if you're going to get bent out of shape, or it's going to ruin the relationship, or you lose the money, you're not going to be able to live. Just be honest and say, I'm just sorry. And take the consequences, I guess. I think that's a better place.
Got it. All right. Well, Herb, always a pleasure. By the way, all of these articles that we talked about, and including hackers are targeting loyalty rewards as well, stolen points, miles, all that stuff. There's a full article on that we didn't have time to get to, but always go to consumerman.com. Herb, it's always great to talk to you. Have a fantastic Hanukkah, and I'll talk to you in January.
And you and Thomas have a good Christmas and a happy New Year, and I'll talk to you in January.
All right, buddy. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
All right, man. Herb Weisbaum, the best. We'll take a break.